don't think I was ever that good. Anyway, I want to welcome you all here. It's so good to have you here. And if you'd go ahead and take out your notes, I'm going to ask you to join me in my favorite 15-second prayer. And hopefully it will become your favorite too. Are you ready? I need you to repeat after me. Lord, speak to my heart. And change my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Done. Isn't that a great prayer? I tell you what, every time you open the Word of God, pray that prayer and see if your connection ratio doesn't increase greatly, because He loves to answer that prayer. But we're going to talk about fully unwrapping God's gift. And if you haven't figured it out by now, it's up to me to tell you, it is Christmas time again. Okay? And some of you are all, yes, it's Christmas, I love Christmas. And some of you are like, oh, it's Christmas. Oh, no. Well, we're going to see if we can't change that outlook a little bit today. But being good Christians, we all know what Christmas is all about, right? So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you in one word to shout out what Christmas is all about. Ready? One, two, three.
Jesus.
Who said presents? Because the rest of you are right. It's Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. Christmas is all about Jesus. It's His birthday. It's when God the Son became Emmanuel, God with us. And knowing that Christmas is all about Jesus should really improve the quality of all of our Christmases. But is there anybody here today who is celebrating their first Christmas as a Christian? You said yes to Jesus in the past year. Just raise your hand right now. Raise it proudly. Let's give a hand to these people. This should be your best Christmas ever, because knowing that Christmas is all about Jesus and knowing Jesus at Christmas should change your Christmas entirely. You know, as a matter of fact, knowing Jesus should really improve the quality of your life, right? And I'll tell you something, knowing Jesus will definitely improve the quality of your eternity. Yeah? Because, I mean, what's the options, right? It's heaven or, well, we don't want to go there. No, we really don't want to go there, okay? But in addition to Christmas being about Jesus, what's everybody's next favorite part about Christmas? Say presents. Yes, presents! How did you know? But aren't presents great? Don't you just love presents? I sure do. Sometimes I feel like I'm a kid trapped in an old man's body just trying to get out. But I love presents, and I can't wait for Christmas so I can get a present because... Oh, hi, Char.
I know you're probably busy, but I have a present for you.
You have a present for me?
Yes, just for you.
Wow, thank you so much.
Can you open it?
Right? No. Oh. I better not, but thank you so much. Really? Okay. Oh, what a blessing. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome.
See ya. Wow, a present for me. How did she know? I don't know. But, think I should open it?
Yes.
Well, now, I'm busy here. I'm trying to preach the gospel. But, it's got a card. I'll open the card. Excuse me for just a minute. Oh, nice card. Nice got money. Oh, Pastor John, thanks for being a great pastor and friend. Love, Char. Isn't that sweet? And it's got a Starbucks card inside. My favorite. Yeah, Frappuccino, here I come. That's awesome. That is so cool. I love it. It's the sweetest card in the Starbucks card. I love it. Thank you so much.
But that's not the present. That's just the smallest part of the present.
This is more than enough. I love it.
Pastor John, open the present.
Okay. I'll open the present. Oh, wonder what it could be.
Open it. It's a 500-carat flawless diamond that my great-great-great-grandfather mined in South Africa. Do you like it? I hope you like it.
Whoa. I don't know what to say. Thank you.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. 500-carat diamond. I'll figure it out. But wow, Isn't that amazing? It's like, because I was just really happy with the card. You know, that was more than enough for me. And you know, I'm trying to work here. I'm trying to preach the gospel. And if I could have just taken this and forgotten all about that and gone off, and I would have missed out on the real treasure. But that's kind of silly, right? Because nobody would really ever do that, you know? But let me tell you something. Family, as this Christmas approaches, it's a really good time for us, not just to remember Jesus as the little baby in the manger and the sheep and the cow and the donkey, but to remember Jesus, God the Son, who he is and why he came and what he has given to us. Because the bottom line is, Jesus himself is our Christmas gift from God. And his gift of salvation and all it includes is our Christmas gift from God. But you know what many of us do with this amazing gift? It's like we just open the card. And we get a little taste of the love of God, and a little taste of knowing him, and a little taste of the joy of fellowship and worship. And we get a few prayers answered, and we go, wow, this is so great. And this is way more than I deserve. And we say, thank you, God. And the devil goes, yep, you're right. It's way more than you deserve. Don't expect anything else. And we just go off and we just start to live life. And we go to church and we fellowship with others. And maybe we're even working hard to serve God. But the problem is, our lives are Christian. We're doing a lot of stuff. But you know what? Our lives can still be pretty much of a mess sometimes, right? That's a mess. We can still be stuck in the same old habits and sins, still be stuck in bondage to lust and anger and to addictions, unhealthy addictions, from everything to drugs to food, you know? And then there's all these problems we continually encounter in life, like relationships and finances and work or not working, and it goes on and on. So what's the deal? Does Christianity work? Yes. Well, is what we are experiencing all there is? And according to the Bible, no, it's not even close. God has given us the ultimate gift, but our problem is we've been satisfied with the card. We haven't really opened the gift. And what we have, the card, as good as it might be, is barely the beginning of the awesome gift that God has for each and every one of you. Would you read with me that scripture at the top of your notes, John 10:10, please? Ready? Go. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is Jesus speaking to each and every one of you. Life abundantly, that's what he came to bring to you. Who could use a life that's a little more abundant than what you're experiencing right now? Absolutely. And read that next scripture with me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Ready? Go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. And then there's that word behold. It means look hard, look intently. It's like God is saying to us, don't miss this. You got to know that when you come to me, all things for you have become new. This is God's word. This is real. This is the truth. But for many of us, our lives, if we're honest, they're a lot more old most of the time than they are new, yeah? Why is that? Because we haven't fully unwrapped the incredible gift God has for us. But you know what, family? It's time we did. Amen? It's time we did. But how are we going to do that? How are we going to open it up and access this abundant life that God came to give us? Well, that's what I'm going to be sharing about today. But first, we need to understand something about that thing called the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as Matthew says, because it has everything to do with the abundant life and experiencing the power and promises of God. If you want to understand the kingdom of God, we get a great clue by breaking down that word kingdom, because it's a contraction of two English words, king's domain, kingdom. A kingdom is where a king has dominion, where he rules and reigns and what he says goes. It's his turf. He has control. And the kingdom of God is where God is king and where he rules and reigns in all authority and power and where his promises exist in reality. And so this abundant life that Jesus came to give is found when the kingdom of God is in operation. And guess what? He's done all the work. So it being in operation is pretty much up to us. Will we let him rule us? Will we allow him to bring his power into our lives? And then we can start to experience the kingdom of God. So how do we actually access it? Read that scripture under number one with me, Matthew 4:17. Ready, go. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus began his ministry with these very significant words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That place of God's rule and authority and power and abundant life is where? It's at hand. It's within your reach. It's right here for you to grab a hold of. But how do we grab a hold of it? First two words in that sentence. You repent. Or write this on your outline. Number one, change your way of thinking. That's what repent means. It's not just talking about turning away from your sin, although it's definitely talking about that. But the full definition is to change your mind or to change your way of thinking. Because how many knows when it comes to our lives and our problems, it's our thinking that gets us into trouble, right? What goes on between our ears can really get us into a lot of trouble. But we can change our way of thinking because as Christians, we actually have two options. We can think like the world does, which is actually our default mode. And if we're not careful, we'll always wind up back there. Or we can choose to upgrade and train ourselves to think like God does. You can change your way of thinking to submit to the King and his way of thinking. And how do you do that? That bullet under number one, renew your mind daily with the Word of God. Because if we can get our troublesome minds filled with the Word of God, our thinking will change, guaranteed. And as it changes and begins to agree with the Word of God, we open up the door to the kingdom. We'll be able to access it and experience more of the abundant life and the transforming power of God. But God's Word is the key. And you know what? There are so many areas in our lives that we need to have God transform our thinking, you know? From the way we treat each other. You know, are we going to be selfish and self-centered and just, it's all about me, I got to take care of me first? Or are we really going to start doing what Jesus says and loving each other, laying down our lives and our wants for each other, really caring about other people? Or how we respond when people offend us, rub us wrong, or hurt our feelings? How are we going to respond? We're going to get angry and mad and talk behind their backs and get bitter and ugly about it? Or we're going to do what Jesus told us to do, what he did on the cross as he hung there and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." What are you going to do? We need our thinking transformed. Or how we respond to situations that are really hard, when life gets hard and situations seem impossible. How are we going to do this? Are we going to trust God? Or are we going to freak out and just say, "We're all going to die," you know? Or even down to how we react when we drive our cars. Ooh. Okay, enough said about that. But we all need some transformation in the way we think. And just a couple of weeks ago, I got to witness several people whose thinking was profoundly transformed as they heard God's word spoken through Pastor Wayne. And one young girl in particular who's brand new to the Lord came out and she told me something really profound. She told me, "You know, I was going to move in with my boyfriend this week, but after hearing that message, I know I'm not supposed to do that." And I just went, wow. Because just like that, she went from the world's way of thinking, "Hey, why not? There's nothing wrong with that," to God's way of thinking that that kind of relationship is reserved for marriage. And as she did so, she opened the door wide to the kingdom of God. And now as she follows through with that, and she makes that decision real and puts it into action, she will step through that door into the realm of his presence and power and protection and abundant life, you know? And that's what we all need to do. We need to change our way of thinking by renewing our minds daily in the Word so that it agrees with God and we can too begin to experience the kingdom and the much more that God has for each and every one of us. And there's one aspect of this changed thinking that is especially crucial to finding the abundant life, and that's number two in your notes. And that's know who you are in Christ. You know, pretty much since the very moment you were born, people have been telling you who you are. And it began with your parents and your family members and your brothers and sisters. And maybe it was really good, warm, fuzzy experience, and maybe it was not good at all. For most of us, it's probably a mixture of the two. But that began to form who you are. And then the number of people telling you who you are increased as you encountered teachers and coaches and other kids in school. And then it can kind of get kind of rough for most of us, because how many know people can be really insensitive to one another? And kids in school can be the worst. You know, I remember when I was in school, I had this acne problem. I was in high school. And people would have this name for me. And I remember going up to receive an award sometime, a sports award, and I hear this whole group of people in the back go, "Yay, zit!" And yeah, you know, it's just, oh. And people just do that. I remember my little boy, Justin, you know, you name your kids, you try to pick a name like nobody's going to be able to make fun of, right? You know, you don't call them Buford or Eustace, right? And if there's a Buford or Eustace here, I'm really sorry. So we name him Justin, and he's the bass player, sits right here. Justin, okay? He came home crying from school one day, "I want to change my name. They call me Just in Time, Just in Case, and I want to change my name," you know? But kids can be so cruel. But then you grow up, and then there's romance, boyfriends and girlfriends, and that'll mess you up. You know, that'll just mess you up altogether. But then there are breakups. Oh, the pain, the rejection, what's wrong with me? Oh, you know? And then there's marriage, husbands and wives, and those intense emotional issues that go on when people get that close to one another. And all of this becomes part of who you are and affects your life. And I probably don't have to tell you that life can be pretty tough sometimes, right? You know, my wife and I, we take care of foster kids. And when they come into our home, you can see all over them the tire prints of what life has done to them, how it's run over them. You can see what people have done to them, unthinkable, despicable, horrible things. And these things have become a part of who they are, and their past has determined how they see themselves, what they think about themselves, their self-worth. And it's no different for you. Some of you have been run over by people in your past. And maybe you've experienced sexual abuse and physical abuse and emotional and verbal abuse, like, "You're stupid, you're worthless, you're hopeless, you can't do anything right." Anybody know what I'm talking about? And all those are lies direct from the enemy. Yeah, they're lies. You know why? Because you're a creation of God and God does not make such things. But those lies, they get into you. And you begin to believe them and you start to live them out even if you don't want to. Because it doesn't matter if they're lies. If you hear them enough, you will believe them, and that's how you live your life. And you know what? It doesn't necessarily stop when you become Christian. I wish it did, but it doesn't necessarily stop. But John, didn't you say that the old has passed away and all things have become new? Yes, I did, and that is the total truth. Here's the problem. We haven't fully unwrapped God's gift to us. And here's a piece of that gift you need to know when it comes to the devil's lies. That just as light will always dispel darkness. You go in a dark room, you turn on the light. The light doesn't smother the light bulb. The darkness doesn't smother the light bulb. What happens? The darkness flees from the light. The light always wins. Just as light will always dispel darkness, God's truth will always dispel the lies of the enemy. And that's why we need to be continually feeding ourselves and washing ourselves with the Word of God. What are some of those things God says about you if you're a Christian today? I put 10 of them in your notes. So 10 things about who I am in Christ. Why? Because I could read them to you, but I want you to have them. I want you to refer to them. I want you to even to say them daily until you begin to believe them. And I'd like to ask you to do me a favor, and that's, would you say them with me out loud right now? I think it would do us all some good. We'll start with number one. Ready? Go. No matter what I have done or how people have treated me, I am totally loved and accepted by God because of Christ. Number two. No matter if my parents were good or bad, absent or unknown, I have been fully adopted by God, my Father, as his beloved child, and now I have the perfect father. My kids are here today. They have two perfect fathers. Number three, I have direct access to the presence of God at all times. Inconceivable, but it's yours. Number four, I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. Number five, I have been given everything I need in Christ for everything I will face in life. Isn't that great? Number six, God promises me to work all things that happen, good or bad, together for good. Number seven, I am a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and He lives in me wherever I go. Number eight, I am filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome sin and to obey what God says. Number nine, I am a servant of God, created by Him, and I am useful and valuable to Him. And number 10, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How about number 10 again? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now that's just a random sampling of who you are in Christ, but that's pretty good stuff, huh? And now we're beginning to get a glimpse, just a glimpse of this gift, because this is just 10 of the countless truths and blessings and treasures that are yours in Christ. And that's why we need to be in this Word daily, so we can know who we are, so we can know what we have, so that we can make use of the gift that God has given us. And one huge thing this will do for you is change the way you think about yourself. Because much of the time, many of us feel a little worthless, don't we? Maybe because of the way people have treated us in the past. Or maybe it's because of what's been said to us in the past, or how we have failed somehow. Or maybe it's because the enemy has whispered lies in your ear. But what does God say about you? Because that's what counts. And we've already just spoken 10 very powerful truths. Here's one more for you, and I'm going to read it to you since you've done such a good job of reading. I'm going to let you have a break. But Ephesians 1:4 under number 2. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Did you know in God's sight, because of Jesus, you are holy and blameless? And that is so cool. But what I want you to underline is, for He chose us. You want to know your value? Look right here. Because the literal essence of that word chose is kind of like the picture of a master chef in a produce department picking tomatoes for his masterpiece. Okay? He is not going to just pick any old tomato. He is not going to settle. What does he do? He takes it. He squeezes it a little. He looks at it. Takes it. Squeeze. Look. Until he goes, yes, this is the one. You know, ma. And he chooses the one that he really wants. That's how God chose you. You know what's even a better picture of this? Is Christmas tree shopping with my wife. So far, we've been to 2 lots, and we have yet to get a Christmas tree. And you know, if it was up to me, I'd go there and go, oh, that looks good, let's go, you know. But she goes, it's just not quite right. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? And so we'll look at every tree on the lot, and most of them just aren't quite right, you know? And then we'll find one that's pretty darn good, and we'll take it to the big sap-covered guy that's on every Christmas tree lot, and she'll go, wait a second, you know that container over there? And he's like, yeah. Do you have more trees in that container? Yeah. Because he knows what's coming, right? Oh, could you just get a couple more trees out for us? Oh, you know. And it's never less than a couple of hours until we are driving home with the most beautiful Christmas tree in the state of Hawaii. And everybody who comes to our house goes, that is the most beautiful tree. And you know why it is? It's because my wife put in all of her time and her heart and soul and every bit of her husband's patience to get the tree she really wanted. And it's such a beautiful picture of how God loves you so much that He chose you. And you know what? He chose you before the foundation of the world, before you had done anything good or bad. He chose you. Why? Because He wanted you. You are what He wanted. You are that precious to Him. And if you are here for the first time, or if you've never ever experienced Christianity, you made a decision for Jesus, you know what? You wouldn't even be here if God wasn't calling you, if he hadn't already chosen you. But know this, God loves everybody, but he chose you. And take that to heart and let it increase your perception of your value. And speaking of value, I want to share with you one of my favorite stories. But before I do, I have to make a little disclaimer, okay? And it's this. Please know that I would never, ever want to demean women in any way, shape, or form, okay? When God came up with the idea of women, like, I was all for it. I think, I'm a big fan. It was a great idea, and he did a great job, okay? So, but know my heart as I share this story, because listen to it, it might actually change your life. Because once upon a time, in a certain land, at a certain time, the custom in that land was that if a man wanted to marry a girl, he would ask his father for her hand, and he would pay her a bride price. And in that ancient culture, the bride price was paid in cows. They were the big monetary asset in that culture. And the standard bride price was 2 cows. Okay, women, now you know why I had to make that disclaimer, right? Now, if a woman was considered exceptional in beauty or ability, the bride price might be increased to 3 cows. The most that had ever been paid in the history of the world as a bride price was 4 cows. But that was just a legend. But what a girl that must have been, right? Anyway, there was a farmer in that land. He lived in the village. And he had just lost his wife a few years before, and he had become a very bitter and angry man. And he took most of it out on his young adult daughter, his only daughter. And he would continually belittle her and put her down and call her names. You're dumb, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're hopeless, you can't do anything right. Who would ever want you? Why, I would consider myself very lucky if I could get 1 cow for you. In fact, I'd be happy just to get a chicken for you. But you know what? As those hurtful words penetrated her heart and mind, she became that person. And she was just hunched over all the time, and her hair just covered her face. She'd look down. She would never look into anybody's eyes. Well, one day, the prince of the whole land came riding into the village. And rumor was that it was time for him to marry, and he was looking far and wide for the woman that he would make his bride. And so all the girls in that village, except one, ran into their homes and fixed themselves up so they could impress the prince. And they were all out there like, you know, like girls do, trying to get his attention. But our girl was just in her the front of their property, working in the garden, looking down. And as the prince passed all these girls, he stopped in front of the farmer's property. And he looked at that girl, and he got off his horse. And no one would have ever guessed what would happen, but he walked up to her, and he lifted up her face in his hands, and he pulled the sticky dreadlocks away from her eyes, and he looked deep into her eyes. And then for some reason, only God knows, he walks up to the dad and says, "Sir, I want to marry your daughter." And he about had a heart attack. And this gasp just went through the whole town like that. And the prince continued, "And for the bride price," and then the father's going, "Okay, here it comes. Here comes the insult. It's going to be like 1 stray cat, you know." But the prince goes, "And for the bride price, I will give 8 cows for the hand of your daughter." 8 cows! No one had ever even conceived of such a thing. Then the father thought it must be a joke, but the prince finally convinced him it wasn't a joke. So the father agreed very quickly before the prince had time to change his mind. And the prince had his servants go with the dad and take care of the cow transaction while he took the girl up on his horse and they rode away to the royal city. Well, no one ever heard of them. Anybody like some water? No one heard of them for about a year. And everybody kind of forgot. Life got back to normal in the village. Not much ever happened there. Until one day, this royal carriage rolls into the village. And it was a big deal. Everybody ran out to see it, and the old farmer even came out to see what was going on. And they all gathered around this carriage, And then they stepped back in awe as the door opened and the most beautiful woman anyone had ever seen stepped out of that carriage. And she smiled at the people and she stood very tall and regally and kind of scanned the crowd as if looking for someone. And everybody's going, who could this be? Who could this be? And then her eyes landed on the old farmer. And she took a step towards him and said, Father, I've missed you. And everybody went, no way! What had happened to this poor, pathetic, broken-down girl who had rode off with this prince? And here's what happened. The fact of the matter is that she became according to the value placed upon her. She was transformed by the value placed upon her. She truly became an eight-cow woman. Now, men, if you're here and your spouse or girlfriend is not, I encourage you not to go home and say, honey, you're an eight-cow woman. And if you do, be prepared to duck, okay? But it's a nice story, right? Cute story. But you know what? It becomes a great story when you realize it's your story. Because God chose you before the foundation of the world. Because you were what he wanted. And he placed you on earth so that you could get to know him and enter into a relationship with him. But you know what? The enemy of your souls has continually tried to beat you down and steal from you and kill you and destroy everything you are to this very day. And he has continually lied to you saying, you're hopeless, you're worthless, you're nothing. And you know what? In some part, we have believed him. And we have lived like that. But you know what the Bible says? For God so loved you that he chose you. And he sent his only son, his highest and his best, to buy you back for him. You know, what is the value that God places on you? The value of his only son. He paid for you with the suffering and death of Jesus. That's how much you're worth to him. And what could be more valuable than that? And family, we have to change our way of thinking to begin to believe that truth with all our heart. Because when we do, then we can rise up to become that person that God created you to be. You too can be transformed by the value that he places on you. And everything can change from there. Okay, one last gift unwrapping tip. And that is number three. Live God's truth by faith. We got to live it and we got to do it by faith. Because it's one thing to hear these things and go, wow, that was great. I feel so much better. And that's it. But what happens tomorrow? Because there's an enemy out there who does not want you to live in the fullness of God's gift. He wants to steal it away and leave you with a faint memory of the card. Just the tidbits of that gift. So what do we do? What happens tomorrow and the next day? Well, we have to make a choice. We have to be deliberate. And we have to determine, I am going to take this gift of God that cost him so much. And I am going to learn everything I can about who I am and what I have. And then I am going to do to the very best of my ability, use it, every bit of it, every day. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to waste anything. But you know what? That's going to take faith. And it's going to take a lot of faith. You want a good definition of faith? Write it in your bullet underneath there. Faith is unquestioning belief and complete trust in God and his word that leads to action. And underline that leads to action because, yeah, I can say I believe all day long, but how much do I really believe unless I'm willing to do something about it? Faith happens when we put our belief into action. And I know I might be starting to sound like a broken record, but it all begins with renewing our minds daily in the Word of God. Your daily devotions, hearing truth from God every day, and then storing those treasures in your journal. Who's ever heard of a journal? We go to New Hope. We know all about journals, right? You store those treasures every day in your journal, but don't just store them. You put an action plan in there. I'm going to take this truth, and I'm going to do this, 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 and this about it. For instance, say God just spoke to me from Ephesians 4:32, which says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. And I go, wow, God wants me to forgive people in my life. And he wants me to forgive them like he forgave me. That's all the way. That's not even holding anything back. Because the bottom line is, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. Why? Because they don't deserve to be forgiven because of what they did to me. Anybody ever felt like that? And then God goes to me, yeah, John, like you deserve to be forgiven after what you did to me? Oh, you know, so I go, okay, Lord. Okay. You say to forgive. You say that you will give me the power to obey what you say. So, okay, I forgive them right now, trusting in your power to make it happen, to make it real. And right there, you just did it. You just chose to live the truth by faith. You take the things that you are learning in your daily devotions, you take the things that God has already taught you, and you actually live them in your daily life, and you open the doors to the kingdom of heaven and for God to release his power. As 2 Corinthians 11:6 talks about taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know that verse? You know, you ever get a thought in your head that doesn't exactly sound like it came from God? When you're mad at someone? Or when you've just made a really bad mistake? Anybody ever beat themselves up really bad? Are you good at that? I'm really good at beating myself up, you know? You get those thoughts, I'm a loser, you know, I'll never get this, I'll never overcome this sin. But are those thoughts that agree with the Word of God? No. So what do? You take them captive. You grab those thoughts and go, you're under arrest, you know? And you just take those thoughts, and what do? You have to destroy them with the Word of God. You have to dispel them with the truth. They're lies. So what do you say? You say something like what you learned. I'm God's beloved child. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, and his power is in me, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as you even speak God's word out, you can feel your insides rising up like, rah! You know? And then you go out and you live like that, stepping out in faith in the joy and the power and the victory over that discouragement and that depression that was just about to take you over. You just won. And now you're starting to live the amazing, abundant life because you are choosing to live God's truth by faith. And it becomes real. That's the kingdom of God. Would you read that scripture under number 3 and we'll wrap this up. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith and not by sight. Yeah, we're going to live by faith in what it says here and not by what the circumstances say. And that, sure, that can be hard sometimes. Have you ever seen the bills piling up and the money piling down? You know, it can be really hard, but what are you going to do? Are you going to go, we're all going to die? Or are you going to go, no, Jesus says he will provide for my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He says, as I seek his kingdom first, all things will be added to me. No, I'm going to believe God. We're going to live by faith in what it says here, no matter what. And read that last verse there, John 14:21. This is Jesus speaking to you. Ready? Go. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. What Jesus is saying to you is, you take my words and you just do them. Just do them. And as you do, I will draw you near to myself in a very special relationship that very few experience. And as I do that, I will show you more and more and more of myself and my power and my glory and the things that very few people experience, not because they're unreachable, but they haven't chosen to do my words. One person I know who does this really well and whose life bears fruit of an incredible relationship with God and is opening more and more of his gift every day, and that's my little wife Linda. And I don't know how many of you know her, but if you see her, you got to kind of look down because she's short. Okay, but it wasn't always like that for her. Long before I knew her, she lived a very, very difficult life and suffered abuse of every kind, and I mean literally every kind. And that abuse took its toll on her, and the pain even got so bad that she actually tried to take her life because she just didn't know what else to do. What happened was she became that person that life said she was, and it wasn't pretty until Jesus got a hold of her. And when Jesus got a hold of her, she grabbed a hold of him with both arms, both leg, and her teeth. You know, she really grabbed a hold of him, and she became determined to believe his word and live it, no matter what the circumstances or people said. And it's not that she was all that great or anything. It's just, it's the same thing that's available to all of us. It's just she chose to go for it and do it. And when I met her, she was already very much transformed. But in the 29 years since that we've been married, and it's our anniversary today, I have seen her grow and grow and grow. And she's right there. I'm going to ask her just to walk up these stairs right here. Would you just come up here just for a minute while I wrap this up? Come here. Just, all right, here I go. I tell you, years ago, when we were married, and I take her to my work parties and stuff like that. Yeah, I got to kind of climb over that thing. She was so shy and quiet that people actually didn't believe she could speak English. They would go, "Hi, my name is," yeah. But now you get her to talk and about God, and she will not shut up. You know, she will talk and talk and talk. And if you've ever heard her speak, I've actually had her speak and taught with her, and she has become an 8-cow woman. Because not because she's all that great, but she is, but because she's really allowed God's value of her to transform her. She's taken him at his word and chosen to live it, and it's something each and every one of us can do. Now, when we got married 29 years ago, I was really sure about, I'll give you 8 cows for him. Then we can all hope. But no, she didn't do that. But you know what? She is my visual aid and proof that God has more for us than we know and walk in. And she's my visual aid and proof that God's word works and there is abundant life and the old can be passed away and all things can become new. And she's actually prettier than this, but she's been really sick, so she's a little ashen. But this is my 8-cow woman and I love her. And it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of what God has done. Because he is the most awesome, awesome guy. Oh, no, you can't. Okay.
I just wanted to say one thing to you guys. You know, when life hits and gets really hard, and you just go, no way. You do what the Bible says. Look to the hills where your help comes from, which is God. So when you go, no way, you will look up there, and you know what you're going to see God say? Way.
Amen. God has given us the most amazing gift. And it's time that we fully unwrapped it. Amen? Amen. Nothing would make him happier this Christmas season than you to do that and start to walk in the gift that he might have given you 20 years ago. But start to walk in it now. Let's unwrap God's gift. God bless you. Merry Christmas.
Pastor John, would you say thank you to him again? He might be an 8-cow woman to Linda, but Linda is an 8-carat diamond to all of us. We are so blessed. But let's all stand together. Great reminder. Great message for this Christmas season. Value of the gift is in you. Believe that. Don't ever overlook it. Fully unwrap it and understand how you're made in God's eyes and then begin to live like that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord God, for again the season that we're in to celebrate the birth of your Son. Thank you, Lord, for believing in us and finding value in us. Father, we do sometimes and many times listen to the world in ways that will reshape us and recategorize ourselves. But Father, we want to remain in your gifting, in your design, and And so we want to walk with that, and we want to live according to your ways. We want to be all that you've made us to be. Help us, Lord God, in this season of time to unwrap that gift, the gift that you believed in from the very beginning. We lift this thing up to you now. We pray that you be with us and bless us this time. In Jesus' name we pray. And we say together, amen, amen. Would you thank the Lord and seal that message to your heart? Great week. Would you love on someone as you go?